from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One of those things, couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the...
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with...
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic...
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Randy Montez McMichael as Randy, and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it, then use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on Live from the Kia Studios, unexpectedly. I know people have probably told you this, but the weather got a little dicey last night.
Dude.
Power was out at Flowery Branch, had to make an audible. We're here at home, which is fine. We'll still get a chance to talk to Terry Fontenot later on today. Looking forward to that. But good morning to you, Randy. How are things at your house?
What's happening, man? Dude, the way it looked, probably about 8:30 last night.
Okay.
I took a video and sent it to Donna because they went to go see the Deadpool movie. It looked like it was going to be really, really bad. But for some reason, it wasn't bad as it looked like it was about to. But yeah, man, that was crazy how it came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Like, I don't remember hearing anything about storms or anything.
We were just sitting there on the porch. I was a little earlier than that at our house, probably maybe 6:45, 7 o'clock, whatever. And we had just had dinner, thinking about getting them ready for bed, all that kind of stuff. We're just sitting there on the porch. All of a sudden, whoosh.
Yes.
And just stuff starts flying everywhere. It's like, all right, get everybody inside.
Yeah, like all the umbrellas were.
Yeah.
Because I used to take them down, forgot to take them down from yesterday. They were all over the yard. Stuff was blown into the pool, but it didn't rain.
Yeah, never
rained. No tree branches came down or nothing.
Never rained,
but
our house.
Crazy.
When the backyard later, after got everyone down and was kind of relaxing and all that kind of stuff, took Boone out back, shed was blown over. I was like, oh, all right. I guess my shed's turned over. I'll fix that tomorrow.
Right.
The most important thing, at least at our house, and hopefully you can say this at your house. I know not everybody can. Power stayed on. No trees hit the house or anything like that. I know that there's trees down everywhere. And if you're dealing with that today, hopefully it gets taken care of quickly. I know the Falcons had some power issues up there at Flowery Branch. Seems like everything got sorted out as well because they were practicing earlier. And we'll be back up there next week. As planned, unless there's another weather event or something like that. Hopefully there isn't. But so instead of, I think it was going to be like 11:40, Terry Fontenot was going to join us live now, or he's still going to join us live, but he was going to join us in person. Now he's going to join us on the phone at 12:30. Yes. So we'll still get a chance to talk to the Falcons general manager coming up today at 12:30. Grant McCauley is going to join us at 11:40. So we'll talk about the game last night, but more specifically the trade deadline and what they did. They didn't get anything else done yesterday after the show. Kind of thought maybe they'd find a way to get one more pitcher, whether it was in the bullpen or a starting pitcher. Did not do that. And so here we are. You know what the squad looks like from here on out. Hopefully you get some health and get Harris back and guys like that. But Jorge Soler and Whit Merrifield is going to be back available tonight probably. Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson will be active tonight as well. And hopefully you recapture the magic of 2021.
We'll see. I mean, Whit is he's going to be the starting second baseman because they sent Nacho back today along Nacho with Bryce Elder. Great job yesterday, Bryce Elder. What a play behind the back snag like that. But they're going to be back. And I'm assuming because they didn't go starting pitcher, it seemed to me like Max is going to be okay. Max and Lopez are probably going to be back sooner rather than later. I wasn't surprised by, that was the other move yesterday, those two, the relief pitcher and Jorge Soler.
Yeah.
But, you know.
After they got Soler, it seemed unlikely that Lewis Robert was on the radar, and he didn't get traded.
Yeah.
Lewis Robert's still a Chicago White Sox. Same with Garrett Crochet, the starting pitcher that they have. That was kind of the guy that I was thinking, like, I don't know, maybe they'd go after. Now I guess there's some long-term sort of contract stuff that he's looking for that maybe they weren't interested in. That's the thing about Soler is you got him now for a couple of years. Yes. Like Jorge Soler is now a part of the plan in the outfield or DH or whatever for the next couple of years because he's under contract.
Yes, so, two more years?
Yeah, he's got two more years after this year. So, all right, good. I mean, obviously we love him.
Yeah.
We love what he did last time he was here.
Yeah.
Hopefully it looks a little bit like that this time.
We'll see. We'll definitely see. And I think it gets interesting because, you know, he was a DH pretty much out there in San Francisco. Now they're going to call him here to play in the outfield because of Eddie Rosario, who was all right yesterday, and then Adam Duvall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be a three-person rotation with those three people.
It's
and everything. It seems like it might be.
Well, then especially too when you get Harris back.
When you get Harris back,
and Harris who's going to play center field.
Yes.
He's going to go
and
back.
You're going to put Kelnick in one corner, then those three, I guess, rotate in the other corner. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm pretty sure Soler is probably number one in that threesome of those guys
Definitely.
Over there. Great job, good for Kelnick yesterday. Home run. I saw his people were there, which is really really cool and everything. But I can see that part of it. Just those three with Kelnick and Mike. In the center field, but I don't know how this is going to work out because when Ronald comes back, obviously Eddie and Adam Duvall probably won't be on the squad.
Probably.
But Soler will be here.
Soler will be.
And then there's Marcelo Kelnick, Ozuna.
Soler platoon.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe. And then Ozuna, there's a team option for him, and that's not that expensive given how great he's been for like a year and a half now.
Yes.
So more than likely you're going to see them exercise that, so he'll probably be back as well. But that's more kind of long-term thinking. They addressed some of what they needed to try to address before the deadline. And we've been saying this, it's true, it continues to be true. You just need the guys that are legitimately good that are already here and healthy to be legitimately good.
Yeah.
The guys that have just been inconsistent, or honestly, they've been consistent, just consistently bad.
There it is.
For the whole year.
They've been consistent.
They just need to be good, because they are good. Like, can somebody convince Matt Olson that it's a new year now? Because apparently he's an every other year kind of guy.
Yes.
Can we just pretend? Like, because the school year starts tomorrow,
yes,
right?
It does. Oh, yeah, it does,
just
buddy.
Say, hey, Matt, it's the new school year. So pretend it's a new year and now play like last year. Because what you've been doing so far is inconsistent and frustrating.
Yeah, everybody's out there. As I said, we were talking off the cuff, man. Yeah, school's back, man. I mean, it was open house today at Sampson School. I was trying to just get around the traffic to get there. So I can only imagine what it's going to be like on Monday morning. Because I thought they started school tomorrow, but Gwinnett starts on Monday, so whatever. But, yeah, just do whatever you got to do, Matt. All right, that's all I say. Do whatever you got to do to make yourself, convince yourself that it is 2025.
Yeah, lie to yourself.
Yeah, lie to yourself. Change all the calendars in the house. Uh-huh. I'm sure they got 2025 calendars that are out right now that you can buy.
Oh, sure they do.
Go buy one.
Yeah.
Go buy one.
There's got to be some kind of other calendar that is already next year. You know what I mean?
I don't know if you got any children. If he's one,
what's
two.
The Mayan calendar say?
The who?
Well, the Mayan calendar told us the world was going to end like a decade ago.
Yeah.
But so don't use that one, I guess.
Right.
There's got to be like
very inaccurate.
Yeah, they were wrong. They got that one wrong. But I mean, they said it a long time ago. All the people that predicted that were long dead before 2012 came around. And all the people that they said it to at the time were like, well, these guys know everything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're geniuses. The best prediction you can make is one that you'll never be around to have to live up to. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because then it's like you talk everyone into how smart you are, and then by the time it actually comes true, you either moved or you're dead or whatever. You never have to answer for it.
One of the.
Or it's just sports media, and you can just say whatever you want, and then like 2 weeks later, if someone calls you on it, you're like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know,
whatever. So what?
Exactly.
Unless it's at what camp was that? Arizona Cardinals camp yesterday? Where Jeffrey Simmons decided he was going to go confront
the radio host
about a tweet that he made.
That was so funny. I guess you have to be accountable over there. I saw Jeffrey.
Was it the Titans?
Jeffrey, yeah, he went after him and everything. I guess, I don't know what happened. I guess old boy said something, and Jeff went up there and like, hey, I'm right here. Say it now. Talk like a man.
Yeah.
Defend your tweet. The guy was like,
oh, it is the Titans. Okay.
Yeah. He was like, well,
So basically what he tweeted was, too, because, like, you know.
What did he tweet?
He tweeted there was, like, a fight last week at camp that I guess Simmons started or was a part of or something like that. And he basically tweeted, like, you know, Simmons did this. He did it again. Said the ref said he would have got kicked out of the game if it was a real game. He needs to pull his head the blank out of his whatever. Yeah. Like, basically, you know, like, it was over the line,
right.
I felt like.
Right.
Like, it was not, I don't know, whatever. Most guys probably wouldn't have done what Simmons did.
Right.
But also, I don't know, the tweet was a little bit uncalled for.
Okay.
So he went and told him about it.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I didn't know what happened. I don't know. I saw
He tweeted that he needed to basically pull his head out of his backside in practice and stop playing like that.
Oh, okay.
And Simmons is like, say it to my face,
right,
son.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what happened. All I know is I saw Jeffrey confronting him. And like, Jeff's a bad dude now.
Yeah, you don't want to get confronted by him.
Jeff's a bad dude. Uh-uh. I saw that. It was pretty – okay, so that's what happened. I don't know what he said, but, sometimes, you know, especially when you're dealing with training camp athletes and you want to say something, because the thing about it is they're going to hear about it.
Yep.
Just like we were talking about Kevin Durant didn't see the tweet. He didn't see Keyshawn, did he? I love Keyshawn's response to it, though. Keyshawn was like, it's probably some loser that told him that. I know KD didn't see that. Some loser went and told him, that's what Keyshawn said.
I don't know.
And then, but I like Keyshawn's response to
it. I don't know. I would say, in general, that's probably true.
Yeah.
KD might have seen
KD
it.
KD might have seen
it. KD seems like a guy that searches Kevin Durant, not at Kevin Durant, just searches Kevin Durant on Twitter and on Google. Just to see if anybody's been saying anything lately. But, I mean, look, man, if you're going to be broadcasting live from training camp, and you're going to be tweeting stuff about people, they might see it. It's the downside of being live training camp play-by-play guy.
Yeah, man, you might get your ass whipped.
Does he only say positive stuff?
Yeah, he might get
Kirk Cousins is 15 for 16, and he's ripping it in there.
Yeah. Oh, he just threw a damn interception.
I bet. You think Ritter came after Smokin' Joe last year?
Oh, man. I don't know, man. Because Dez... you know,
Joe wasn't wrong.
He was not wrong, but you know, I mean, sometimes you with self awareness, he knew he stunk.
Yeah, he knew.
He knew.
He knew.
Yeah, man, you can't fake the funk on spank. You know,
we just all eventually found out.
Yeah, I think two radio host guys probably kind of knew early.
We certainly didn't claim to know. That's for sure. There was a lot of y'all are sleeping on blankety blank this time last year. Yes, we were. All right. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending here to kick off the hour. Again, we're live in the Kia Studios today. Grant McCauley going to join us in about half an hour. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress.
Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Ladies and gentlemen,
time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Is your heating and cooling system aging? Reliable's got you covered for just $29.99 a month. No deductibles or service fees, just coverage. Call to find out more.
I follow very closely. I mean, I'm you know, involved in the sharing of the strategy behind, you know, our draft approach. We go through a number of scenarios. I'm in a number of pre-draft meetings where they're screening potentially who might pick and what position and why. Then there's a bunch of options. Obviously, we're one of 32 teams picking, so anything can happen. And during that night, it did fall our way in terms of Michael. You know, it's a decision made by the coaching staff and by the personnel department, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I went on to say, we don't listen to what other teams do. We don't care what the media says. We're independent thinkers.
Right.
All right? We handle our own stuff over here. And again, a lot of time has passed between the offseason signing of Cousins and the drafting of Penix. I think everyone has sort of made their mind up about how they feel about it. And now we're all in the same boat of hopefully it works out brilliantly. Like, hopefully this works out perfectly and everyone's happy and you've got your quarterback situation dealt with for the next 15 years. But all we know right now is, and all we can really focus on right now is, Kirk Cousins is the starting quarterback this season, and that's a massive upgrade from where you were last year. I understand. Whether you agree with it or not, I think you can understand how they came to the decision that they came to. I just, you know, felt like we were there, right? We've done this. Mm-hmm. We've done that. I know that maybe people had talked. I don't know. So much of the questioning yesterday was about that. And I was like, oh, all right.
We know this already.
We know this. Yeah, we know.
And he's spoken on it.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. So they all have.
Yeah.
Everyone. Like, repeatedly.
Did anybody ask about the, you know, season tickets sold out and or?
I wanted to ask him how they told him he was going in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah. That would be, exactly. How did that happen?
Did you tell yourself?
Like, did you?
Or did
whoever is in control of that, they were like, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Thank you for buying the team, building this beautiful, beautiful stadium. We want to put you on the wall because they don't have the thing in the stadium itself. But yeah.
I also wondered,
what,
like,
you said no.
Yeah, no thanks.
No.
I don't know that I've earned it yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, thank you.
So when a player goes up in the Ring of Honor, name, number, right? And then, like, years played.
Most
right?
of the time, yeah.
Right? Sometimes broadcasters will go into the Ring of Honor, name, microphone,
right.
years broadcast.
Right.
Well, I mean, you can't have a, I mean, I guess 2002 through.
Smoking jacket.
Infinity.
Smoking jacket.
Yeah, and then what's the logo? Yeah. Like, Arthur Blank, what is the.
You got to have some kind of, like, because he'd be wearing, you know, them cashmere coats
and solid
sports coats.
Like tweed, like really expensive. Who knows? Yeah. We probably don't even know what material it's made out
of.
Some probably
stuff.
Made out of some stuff we've never heard
Hell
of.
Hell yeah. Put one of them up there, something like that, yeah. Because, yeah, Arthur Blank is very stylish.
Yeah.
Like, I would rock.
In a very specific way,
yes,
though.
Yes, I would rock it.
You would?
Yeah. Them jackets that
okay.
he wears?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I would definitely rock them sports coats.
Okay.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt about
it's
it.
It's, like, very, like Manhattan.
Yeah.
Like, business rich from, like, the 40s.
Yeah, but I'm just talking know? About, like, the jacket?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like, he has very much nailed his look.
Right.
Like, the suits and the little mustache and the slick back and all that stuff. It works.
Yeah,
it's working for him.
Do you think he drives?
Why would you?
I was just curious. Like, I was like, I mean, I'm sure he got a Rolls Royce or something. People are driving around. I was like, I wonder if Mr. Blank ever drives himself.
I bet he hasn't provided his own transportation in any capacity in over a decade. Unless it was just for leisure.
Right.
You know? He was like, you know what? This new car is really fast. I'd kind of like to see how it goes.
Let me go take out the Rari.
I'm like, maybe a golf cart every once in a while?
Maybe.
Just like to get around the grounds?
Yeah, maybe.
But like, or if I was him, because he got like a $200 million yacht. Let me steer it.
Yeah. You know? Hell yeah.
Let me steer it just for a little while. You know, I'll try not to wreck it. I'll try not to run anything. Anyway, Arthur Blank met with the media yesterday, talked about a lot of different stuff. Some of it was just sort of like re-justifying the draft selections and all that. But look, man, they did what they did. They got a significantly better quarterback situation than they had a year ago, starting and backing up. And that, look, that's something we'll talk to Terry Fontenot about in about an hour. I want to ask him, take quarterback off the table. Where do you think you got better most from last year at this time right. to this year at this time? Because everyone will say quarterback. What else would you say that it is? I'd be interested to get his response to that. We'll talk to him about more than just that as well. Now, we didn't get a chance to head up to training camp today. They had some power issues with all the weather last night, but just kind of reading some of the things that went on. Apparently, Kyle Pitts had a huge like dunk ball over Jesse Bates, went up and got it over him, which is awesome for a touchdown. What else did we see?
Some guys running with the ones. I just saw
some guys running with the twos.
I was trying to figure out Kyle's because he's saying you know it was he basically jumped over Jesse. I'm like, was it in an actual play or was it in like one on ones?
Sounded like it was in the red zone.
Okay, that's what I was
like curious. In a red zone.
Okay, just curious. Yeah, I saw it too, and I was like, nice Kyle. Now, was it in the structure of a play?
Yeah, I think
or was it one on ones and all that other stuff?
Because that matters.
It does matter.
I guess I'm trying to say it was in the structure of a play to make it sound more impressive.
But it could be.
And then apparently these are things that were overheard at practice by those that were there. The DB coach yelled that he was a tall
MF.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah. And then Raheem Morris told Jesse Bates that Madden rating's not going to help him out here.
Oh,
which
love
is pretty
it.
Good.
Hell yeah.
Pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff.
Hell yeah. Because you know how it motivates you when a video game don't show you no respect. Video game don't show you no respect.
I don't know, man. These guys all seem to care about
they
it.
They do.
And you said as you were getting older in your career, the younger guys did care.
Yeah,
like, didn't you have to rip down
a paper
one time?
Yes, I ripped down a paper in the damn
locker room. That had the ratings?
Yes, that was pinned to the damn, like, the message board. It was up there. And it was, ooh! Y'all laughed at the damn, come on, man. Come on, man.
Come on, man. Wow. That's excellent. All right, here's Alex Anthopoulos talking about trading for Jorge Soler.
We want to go into next season with another right-handed bat. Look, Adam Duvall was an everyday player in 2023 and had a great year for the Red Sox. Obviously signed late, didn't get off the start he wanted to and so on, but injury and ended up getting playing time. So over 162, trade deadline, all that kind of stuff. It's always a good thing to have more good players, and Snit's very good at being able to balance out playing time and things like that. And I can pretty much guarantee ahead of time there will be players next year that spend time on the IL.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was interesting. That was more of a long-term answer than a short-term answer, which it kind of is. Like, Jorge Soler certainly helps you now. You need him. I do wonder, we talked about it in the first segment.
Is he a piece?
Who's the odd man out? Because you got, especially when Harris gets healthy, you got three guys for one spot.
Right.
Because Harris is going to be out there, Kelnick's going to be out there, and then you got Soler, Duvall, and Rosario, and Ozuna, who's going to DH. I mean, I don't find Ozuna a day off here or there. I don't know why you would need to.
Day off.
You don't
really need a
day off.
Yeah.
You only play half the game anyway.
All he do is hit.
Yeah. So I don't really think that makes sense. Plus, he's the best hitter on the team.
Yes.
Has been all year. So you really don't want him out of the lineup.
He hits and eats sunflower seeds.
Pretty much what
he
does.
Pretty much what he does.
Yeah.
You know, like, gives hugs and all that stuff.
Yeah, right. And like provides spirit for the dugout.
But yeah, he ain't doing nothing. I mean, no. No. He has the perfect go get hungover job and then still come be.
I'm happy for that.
Yeah,
no,
man.
It's a good job if you can get it. It really is. But yeah, that was it. They didn't make any other moves yesterday. So I'm gonna do the old Chip Carey.
I don't work in like a quantity. I just work in quality. And
That's Ozuna. You know, you're gonna get Freed and Lopez back, and that's as good as a trade.
Yeah. I mean, and it should happen rather soon, right?
Yeah.
I would think it'd happen pretty soon. But they are.
By the way, Harry Carey is everywhere in Chicago.
What do you mean?
I hadn't really paid attention to it before. There's just Harry Carey stuff everywhere
in
Chicago. Yeah. Went down to the Navy Pier. Oh, there's a Harry Carey restaurant. We were walking over here. Oh, there's a Harry Carey How long
did
mural.
He do, how long did he do that?
Oh, there's a road. It's Harry Carey Road. I had no idea. It
how
was
long,
like
how long did he do that job?
I don't know. Forever.
Forever.
A really long time.
Forever.
Long enough to get to the point where you could just say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Which is really what you look for. You know what I mean?
In a play-by-play really play guy.
Yeah.
In an old school play-by-play.
Like
guy.
How long would we have to do this job to get to the point where we could really just say whatever we want all the time?
We don't do that now?
Pretty close, but I bite my tongue every once in a while.
We don't do that now.
There was the other day that was about to be a joke, and I was like, no, that's probably too gross. Yeah. I think I'll not say that.
Yeah.
One.
I mean, we're getting better. We're getting better at filtering ourselves.
I don't, but I'm saying, like, how long would it have to be before we could get worse again?
Like a week. let's just get the football.
You
season.
And me will be Harry Carey next
yeah.
week.
Yeah, let's, that get, sounds let, good. Let's just get the football.
Get some
season.
Thick glasses yeah. and all that kind of stuff.
Football game being played tomorrow.
The Braves won last night, by the way, which is excellent. Nice to see Jared Kelnick doing that in a homecoming. Like you said, some family there and all that grew up just outside of Milwaukee. Couple of hits, had a homer and a double. Really good to see because he's kind of been struggling of late. And Bryce Elder with a
he's really good.
I'll be honest with you, unexpected really start. Good. Him and then the day before. The two starts that you got from unexpected places, you got to win games like that. Now, luckily, they did win the game yesterday, but yeah, man, chance to take the series today.
Yeah, man. I mean, when we look going forward, I mean, this is what it's going to be. And we talk about the lineup. I think, I don't know for sure, but we have Grant on next. So I expect about is Max and Lopez, are they going to be back this weekend?
I bet Whit Merrifield and Jorge Soler are in the lineup today.
Whit's going to start. I saw that. Yeah. He's going to be starting at second base. He went to Brian Snicker and said, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I know it was a freak accident. Ball hit me. Damn near broke my thumb. My thing in half.
Yeah.
But I'm good. So they're going to move him and they sent the young boy back.
Yeah, Nacho got sent back.
Nacho got sent back. But yeah, I would not.
Would Winans get sent back too?
I would not. I would not.
Darius Vines? I don't know.
Yeah, somebody. I would not be surprised if Soler.
Nope.
Jorge Soler.
There it is. You did it.
Is in the lineup today.
I would love it. I want to see it. Pound the Brewers. Take the series. Chris Sale's on the mound. He's 13-3 with a 2.68 ERA. Obviously, it happened before. Probably we even got off the air yesterday. But then they show the broadcast at night. I watched it at night. What those gymnasts do is insane. They're all incredible. They win the gold last night. But then Simone Biles.
Yes.
It's crazy again. We talked about it with Katie Ledecky and other Olympians that are just that much above even the rest of the ones that are great.
Yes.
Like, they were all incredible last night.
Yes.
And then Simone Biles
she
goes out and
is
like,
level.
She's better than everyone.
Yeah, she was. I loved it. I told you, me and my wife, daughter, we watched a little bit of the Simone Biles thing on Netflix.
Oh, okay, cool.
And everything like that. And I completely forgot about what happened in the previous Olympics and everything as far as her with her, the yips.
Refresh people's memory if they don't know.
What's it called, Abe? The twisties or whatever.
Yeah, she was having like problems.
Yeah,
spinning.
And so she had to drop out. But I just and they showed that part, but they showed the damn just vitriol towards her.
Yeah,
and it was like
it was crazy.
I was like, damn.
I know.
I was like, oh wow.
Remember that?
And I forgot about that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It was just unbelievable. And I say it all the time, man. Y'all, if it was me, people go kick damn rocks. If it was me, go kick damn rocks. I mean, that was unbelievable what they did yesterday. And it just looks different when she's out there.
Yep.
And so, congratulations to those young ladies, man. I got a chance to watch a little bit this morning of what I was watching. I was watching the bike racing.
Okay.
The BMX jumps and all that stuff this morning. And I thought we were just watching the triathlon, which is crazy.
Those people are just savages.
Swimming in that damn water, swimming in that Nash damn water.
Hold your breath.
You know what I mean? On the bicycle, then the run, which is unbelievable.
I like the 2 hours. The water wasn't clean enough last week, and they're like, you know, now it's good.
It's amazing.
100 years of garbage and poop.
I mean, that's like, I'm sure like that has to be just, when it get in your mouth?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. Like, they ain't got no like mouth shield for water?
I don't know, man.
That was nasty as hell. But
they conveniently measured the levels before it rained and then did not remeasure the E. coli levels.
It rains and then everything just dumps into the river.
I don't want no gold medal that bad. I got to swim in poop. Especially French poop.
Among the worst types.
Yeah,
it is. Poop,
yeah,
it's among the worst types.
Yeah, nah.
When I dropped Jack off at daycare today, one of the baby teachers was holding another baby.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh.
Yes.
And a blowout was happening in real time. And I was like, that's why you guys are the best. See you later.
Man. Hey, dog. I do not miss
jobs that deal with poops.
Yeah, dog. I'm just talking about, like, And they used to be so cute. They Whoa. Somebody come get them.
How'd something so cute do something so disgusting?
Somebody come get them.
All right. Grant McCauley going to join us next. We will talk about what the Braves did and didn't do leading up to the deadline. And then from here on, I mean, there's 2 months left in the season before the playoffs get here. What's he expecting? Timelines for injuries, all that kind of good stuff. Everything you need to know about the Braves coming up next with Grant McCauley. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And now, here's another Andy and Randy listener.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. These two are good enough for television, but they look a lot better on radio.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Get back into all the news from around the National Football League, top of the noon hour. Terry Fontenot, Falcons general manager, going to join us at 12:30 as well. Looking forward to that conversation. Because things had to get switched around a little bit, us being here because of the weather last night, Flower Branch having some power issues. Fontenot will be at 12:30. Grant McCauley is normally at 12:20 on Wednesdays, but Grant joins us right now.
G-Mac!
Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate at 855-299-SOLD. Grant, how are you?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Just kind of exhaling after the trade deadline, which had a lot of activity. I know we're going to get into it. Yeah. Not so much here in Atlanta, but there were a lot of trades. Just an interesting and an active trade deadline, but not necessarily headlined by a ton of big names.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you saw guys going, especially as the deadline got closer yesterday afternoon, there was a ton of action. Not, like you said, not for the Braves yesterday. What did how they handled the deadline tell you?
Well, I think that one thing I took away from it was if you looked at, you know, where they're going to get their starting pitching depth from, are they confident about their starting pitching depth? I think the answer to that you have to feel a little bit better about is yes, they've got it covered because Max Fried had a promising couple of weeks. I know he didn't want to shut him down for this IL stint, but it worked out. Then you had Ronaldo Lopez get his scare. He only went the 3 innings, had to get the MRI. Everything's clean. Both of those guys could pitch this weekend against Miami. We'll see if that comes to pass. But either way, I feel like that was the only thing that was kind of hanging out there for me that I thought, well, that could be the big decision point for Alex, is how confident is he in those two guys to get back? Because if you're not, this was the time to maybe try to get somebody, a veteran, to come out there and help you. But if you look at some of the trade returns for some of the starting pitchers who were not front-of-the-rotation guys, there were some pretty serious prospects changing hands. So that's something I'm sure the Braves weighed out to try to figure out. I thought maybe a middle infielder could be helpful, but they did just pick up Whit Merrifield. Maybe they feel like that's enough to get them back to Ozzie Albies, who Alex said could be trending for an earlier September return, which is certainly something Braves fans want to hear.
What about, you know, I know we're talking about the different moves and everything, but were you surprised that they did try? I won't say try, that they didn't pull off an ability to get another arm at all. I'm talking about starting pitching.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, but then not altogether too surprised because I feel like, again, it's more of an indication of what they felt like they have in-house when you consider that you do have Chris Sale pitching really well. You've got Charlie Morton. If Fried and Lopez are good, you feel very solid about that forward. Then there's what Spencer Schwellenbach has done. And then, I mean, you see Bryce Elder come back up last night and remind you that, yeah, he can still throw some good games in there, even though there have been some ups and downs for him. It's not about him being an all-star every year. It's about just being a quality start machine in my eyes. And then you throw in A.J. Smith-Shawver, Ian Anderson, maybe some of the other guys that are on the way back, like Owaskari Noah. There's significant depth that's there. None that's more cool. important, obviously, this year than what Spencer Schwellenbach has done. But that all together, the whole lot of those names, made me feel like, did they really need to go out and move a Smith-Shawver or a Hurston Waldrop or some other top, Nacho Alvarez, to try to get a fourth or fifth starter who may not even factor in their postseason plans and may not be, controllable for the team beyond this year. That, I think, was probably what it came down to. If you're going to make a deal, I feel like you want to maximize what you're spending in order to have these guys around for a while. And I feel like that's probably where it was on starting pitcher. Just nothing that moved the needle enough for them to pull the trigger on it.
Oh, I mean, you brought a name. I was like, Wesco. I was like, he's still here. But
yeah, I hadn't thought about Wesco in a while.
Of those three guys, you try him and Smith-Shawver and Ian Anderson. Which one of those guys do you think will be back sooner, Grant? Or are you hearing he'll be back sooner?
Well, Well, I think that Smith Shawver and Ian Anderson, you know, they've built up their pitch counts to 80 now, so right. either one of them could be back around. But ahead of them, obviously, was Bryce Elder, and we saw him come up and pitch well in Milwaukee. I mean, I kind of like not only what I saw from him, but when he did finally get in a little bit of trouble in the seventh inning, he didn't leave feeling like, okay, I did a great job, and, you know, my team's in position to win. He left with a little bit of fire, I feel like, in his belly about, hey, man, I wanted to close the start out strong. And, you know, it's not always how you start, it's how you finish. There's plenty of baseball and life cliches you can throw at it, but he should feel pretty good about what he did for the Braves last night. And I think that while Braves fans may have looked at some of the uncertainty in this fifth and sixth spot in the rotation this year, you've got to look big picture. The Braves pitching staff has been one of the best in baseball all year long, and they've done all of this amazingly without Spencer Strider for the vast majority of the season, and they still have significant depth around, even though they had a couple of scares here coming out of the All-Star break. Once you see Max Fried and Ronaldo Lopez get out there and, knock on wood, do what they're capable of doing, I still feel like the Braves are in a very good position to do the things they need to do on the mound. Now can they get this offense kickstarted, which was really what they needed to do, was get somebody to affect them in that way, and Jorge Soler should do that.
There was a time, like in spring training, not even that far before the season started, when Adam Duvall, Jesse Chavez, Eddie Rosario, Jorge Soler, and Luke Jackson all weren't on the Braves, of course. Now they all are, which is, I don't know, it's unusual for sure. Like, yeah. What's your reaction to all of these familiar faces being the moves?
Well, one of the weirdest trades I think you could have ever conjured up, and I posted about this on social, that if you told me on, like, November 4th, 2021, that, hey, in 3 years, the Braves are going to trade Tyler Matzik for Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson, I would have asked a lot of questions, wow. including what alternate reality right. are we living in, what right. has gone on? But that is just, it's crazy the way that life and baseball will work and come full circle at times. And you hate to see that Tyler Matzik hasn't been able to get his career back on track the last couple of years, but, you know, a worthwhile trade, certainly. And the Braves are familiar with what they got from San Francisco. Clearly, they were familiar with what Adam Duvall is capable of. It has been a challenging year for him. Eddie Rosario's stay in Washington wasn't what he wanted. But getting some of these guys back, at least you know what you have there, and you hope that they can figure out a way to contribute some. I think Eddie's done a little bit of that for the Braves. It's been better lately for Duvall than how it started. And obviously with Soler, you go back and look at what he's been doing since the start of June, since moving back to the leadoff spot for the Giants. He's really been the exact kind of hitter they need, somebody who gets on base, even if it's an unorthodox leadoff hitter. He's done this before. He's done it for the Braves, and he's done it at the highest level on the biggest stage. So who's to say he can't come in here and continue to have that success?
I know a couple of times, Greg, when Alex has made trades for guys with multiple years, like he did with Iglesias, but we knew he was going to eventually mm-hmm. be the closer. Soler has multiple years left on his deal.
Yeah.
And then obviously Ronnie's coming back and all those different things. So how does that play out as far as, because he was more of a DH in San Fran. With the DH here, he ain't going nowhere, obviously going to pick up Ozuna's option. How do you see that playing out as far as going next year? Do you see it where him and Kelnick could play platoon in one of the corners?
Yeah, and that's possible. And the other thing that I kind of looked at, and Alex spoke about this in his media availability yesterday, was that, you know, they're not scared away by the 2 years that Soler has. And, you know, that doesn't mean that they're not confident in Ronald getting back, hopefully as close to opening day as possible. Clearly, Michael Harris will be back here in a couple of weeks. That's the plan. Then you kind of sort everything else out. But the thing that stuck out to me from Alex was, we have discovered that we need more than three. As good as those three are, we have to have more options. And somebody might get at-bats at DH. You might do some alternating on the corners and try to spread around some of these at-bats in a platoon scenario, which the Braves don't have a lot of those. They haven't done a lot of that. But I feel like they can figure it out if they're creative enough. Now, this may not mean that you're going to have Jorge Soler, Adam Duvall, Eddie Rosario, and Jared Kelnick all vying for at-bats at one position when you get Acuna and Harris back, but they're going to sort that out over the course of the winter and into next year, of course.
Soler leading off today, I know that's what he did a lot when he was here the first time. Is that what you see him doing from here on out?
Yeah, I think that's the role that he really fits for this club. And when they went out and got him, it's somebody that you know, and that helped a lot. But the productivity is the number one thing that they looked at. So having someone who's able to come in and do the things that he's done in San Francisco, do the things that he did in 2021, that's really what they needed. And so I feel like he is going to fit not only for this year, but beyond this year. And the other thing, to Randy's point, is that, you know, with Marcell Ozuna, it sounds like they're very, very comfortable when it comes to picking up that option and continuing to have him around and in the 2025 plan as well. It's just going to be interesting to see where all these at-bats come from. But yeah. exciting to see when you get Ronald Acuna Jr. back in this mix.
Hey, Grant, talk to me about this young kid, Schwelly, because, I mean, beginning when he first came up, you know, Rocky, just like most guys are when they're a young pitcher, but now he's seen, has he figured it out? What have you seen from him in his progression so far this season?
Yeah, when I talked to Brian Snitker about this, and this has been about 3 or 4 weeks now, like what is he seeing that's kind of the separating factor for Spencer Schwellenbach? It has been mound presence. And the other thing that I've noticed is when he came up, there was a lot of talk about, you know, well, he's got two really good pitches, maybe a third that he can depend on. But all of a sudden, you watch what he's doing. He's using six different pitches, and he's using them like somewhere between 10 and 15%, maybe 20% of the time. So it's not like he's dependent on, I got to be a fastball slider guy with the occasional changeup. That might be Spencer Strider's profile, mm-hmm. but it's not Spencer Schwellenbach's profile. And we saw a tick in velocity this past start that I think is very exciting, because if he's going to be touching 98, 96, and also using that off-speed stuff, this is a kid that he's confident. He's, you know, even though he is not a guy with a ton of innings and a ton of experience under his belt, he is somebody that I think they have confidence in because of the way he competes and the way he goes about everything. And that says a lot about a 24-year-old kid that came in with 65 innings under his belt this year.
Let's pretend all the bad stuff that's going to happen this year has already happened, because a lot of bad stuff's happened, right? Acuna and Strider, yeah. and a lot. There's been a lot of like just various unexpected, unfortunate things that have happened to this team. Maybe a lot of the bad stuff has already taken place. Best case scenario, like make the case for this team, this group that they have, and guys getting healthy, coming back, going on a run.
Yeah, and I asked Alex Anthopoulos about this yesterday. I said, you know, you get a Jorge Soler, you've got plans to get Michael Harris back in there, Ozzie Albies a little bit after that. You know, how much of the calculus of what you were out there trying to acquire had to do with knowing that you've got guys in-house that can perform better than they have? And he said, look, I mean, it's not about we're sitting here projecting and or expecting them to do what they've done, you know, last year, to somehow in 2 months put up the numbers that they did in an entire season last year. But yeah, we've got belief in our guys, and we believe what we've added and the capabilities of getting some injured players back is going to factor for us pretty.
And now, here's another Andy and Randy listener.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. These two are good enough for television, but they look a lot better on radio.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Get back into all the news from around the National Football League, top of the noon hour. Terry Fontenot, Falcons general manager, going to join us at 12:30 as well. Looking forward to that conversation. Because things had to get switched around a little bit, us being here because of the weather last night, Flower Branch having some power issues. Fontenot will be at 12:30. Grant McCauley is normally at 12:20 on Wednesdays, but Grant joins us right now.
G-Mac!
Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate at 855-299-SOLD. Grant, how are you?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Just kind of exhaling after the trade deadline, which had a lot of activity. I know we're going to get into it. Yeah. Not so much here in Atlanta, but there were a lot of trades. Just an interesting and an active trade deadline, but not necessarily headlined by a ton of big names.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you saw guys going, especially as the deadline got closer yesterday afternoon, there was a ton of action. Not, like you said, not for the Braves yesterday. What did how they handled the deadline tell you?
Well, I think that one thing I took away from it was, if you looked at, you know, where they're going to get their starting pitching depth from, are they confident about their starting pitching depth? I think the answer to that, you have to feel a little bit better about is yes, they've got it covered, because Max Fried had a promising couple of weeks. I know he didn't want to shut him down for this IL stint, but it worked out. Then you had Ronaldo Lopez get his scare. He only went the three innings, had to get the MRI. Everything's clean. Both of those guys could pitch this weekend against Miami. We'll see if that comes to pass. But either way, I feel like that was the only thing that was kind of hanging out there for me that I thought, well, that could be the big decision point for Alex, is how confident is he in those two guys to get back? Because if you're not, this was the time to maybe try to get somebody, a veteran, to come out there and help you. But if you look at some of the trade returns for some of the starting pitchers who were not front of the rotation guys, there were some pretty serious prospects changing hands. So that's something I'm sure the Braves weighed out to try to figure out. I thought maybe a middle infielder could be helpful, but they did just pick up Whit Merrifield. Maybe they feel like that's enough to get them back to Ozzie Albies, who Alex said could be trending for an earlier September return, which is certainly something Braves fans want to hear.
What about, you know, I know we're talking about the different moves and everything, but were you surprised that they didn't try? I won't say try, that they didn't pull off an ability to get another arm at all. I'm talking about starting pitching.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, but then not altogether too surprised, because I feel like, it's more of an indication of what they felt like they have in-house when you consider that you do have Chris Sale pitching really well. You've got Charlie Morton. If Fried and Lopez are good, you feel very solid about that forward. Then there's what Spencer Schwellenbach has done. And then, I mean, you see Bryce Elder come back up last night and remind you that, yeah, he can still throw some good games in there, even though there have been some ups and downs for him. It's not about him being an all-star every year. It's about just being a quality start machine in my eyes. And then you throw in A.J. Smith-Shawver, Ian Anderson, maybe some of the other guys that are on the way back, like a Waskari Noah. There's significant depth that's there. None more important, obviously, this year than what Spencer Schwellenbach has done. But that all together, the whole lot of those names, made me feel like, did they really need to go out and move a Smith-Shawver or a Hurston Waldrop or some other top – Nacho Alvarez – to try to get a fourth or fifth starter who may not even factor in their postseason plans and may not be, controllable for the team beyond this year. That, I think, was probably what it came down to. If you're going to make a deal, I feel like you want to maximize what you're spending in order to have these guys around for a while. And I feel like that's probably where it was on starting pitcher. Just nothing that moved the needle enough for them to pull the trigger on it.
Oh, I mean, you brought a name. I was like, Wesker. I was like, he's still here. But
I hadn't thought about Wesker in a while.
Of those three guys, you would try him and Smith-Shawver and Ian Anderson. Which one of those guys do you think will be back sooner, Grant? Or are you hearing they'll be back sooner?
Well, I think that Smith-Shawver and Ian Anderson, they've built up their pitch counts to 80 now, so either one of them could be back around. But ahead of them, obviously, was Bryce Elder, and we saw him come up and pitch well in Milwaukee. I mean, I kind of like not only what I saw from him, but when he did finally get in a little bit of trouble in the seventh inning, he didn't leave feeling like, okay, I did a great job, and, my team's in position to win. He left with a little bit of fire, I feel like, in his belly about, hey, man, I wanted to close the start out strong. And, it's not always how you start, it's how you finish. There's plenty of baseball and life cliches you can throw at it, but he should feel pretty good about what he did for the Braves last night. And I think that while Braves fans may have looked at some of the uncertainty in this fifth and sixth spot in the rotation this year, you've got to look big picture. The Braves pitching staff has been one of the best in baseball all year long, and they've done all of this amazingly without Spencer Strider for the vast majority of this season, and they still have significant depth around, even though they had a couple of scares here coming out of the All-Star break. Once you see Max Fried and Ronaldo Lopez get out there and, knock on wood, do what they're capable of doing, I still feel like the Braves are in a very good position to do the things they need to do on the mound. Now can they get this offense kickstarted, which was really what they needed to do, was get somebody to affect them in that way, and Jorge Soler should do that.
There was a time, like in spring training, not even that far before the season started, when Adam Duvall, Jesse Chavez, Eddie Rosario, Jorge Soler, and Luke Jackson all weren't on the Braves, of course. Now they all are, which is, I don't know, it's unusual for sure. Like, what's your reaction to all of these familiar faces being the moves?
Well, one of the weirdest trades I think you could have ever conjured up, and I posted about this on social, that if you told me on, like, November 4th, 2021, that, hey, in 3 years, the Braves are going to trade Tyler Matzik for Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson, I would have asked a lot of questions, including what alternate reality are we living in, what has gone on. But that is just it's crazy the way that life and baseball will work and come full circle at times. And you hate to see that Tyler Matzik hasn't been able to get his career back on track the last couple of years, but a worthwhile trade, certainly. And the Braves are familiar with what they got from San Francisco. Clearly, they were familiar with what Adam Duvall is capable of. It has been a challenging year for him. Eddie Rosario's stay in Washington wasn't what he wanted. But getting some of these guys back, at least you know what you have there, and you hope that they can figure out a way to contribute some. I think Eddie's done a little bit of that for the Braves. It's been better lately for Duvall than how it started. And obviously with Soler, you go back and look at what he's been doing since the start of June, since moving back to the leadoff spot for the Giants. He's really been the exact kind of hitter they need, somebody who gets on base, even if it's an unorthodox leadoff hitter. He's done this before. He's done it for the Braves, and he's done it at the highest level on the biggest stage. So who's to say he can't come in here and continue to have that success?
I know a couple of times, Greg, when Alex has made trades for guys with multiple years, like he did with Iglesias, but we knew he was going to eventually be the closer. Soler has multiple years left on his deal.
Yeah.
And then obviously Ronnie's coming back and all those different things. So how does that play out as far as, because he was more of a DH in San Fran. With the DH here, he ain't going nowhere, obviously going to pick up Ozuna's option. How do you see that playing out as far as going next year? Do you see it where him and Kelnick could play platoon in one of the corners?
Yeah, and that's possible. And the other thing that I kind of looked at, and Alex spoke about this in his media availability yesterday, was that, you know, they're not scared away by the 2 years that Soler has. And, you know, that doesn't mean that they're not confident in Ronald getting back, hopefully as close to opening day as possible. Clearly, Michael Harris will be back here in a couple of weeks. That's the plan. Then you kind of sort everything else out. But the thing that stuck out to me from Alex was, we have discovered that we need more than three. As good as those three are, we have to have more options. And somebody might get at-bats at DH. You might do some alternating on the corners and try to spread around some of these at-bats in a platoon scenario, which the Braves don't have a lot of those. They haven't done a lot of that. But I feel like they can figure it out if they're creative enough. Now, this may not mean that you're going to have Jorge Soler, Adam Duvall, Eddie Rosario, and Jared Kelnick all vying for at-bats at one position when you get Acuna and Harris back, but they're going to sort that out over the course of the winter and into next year, of course.
Soler leading off today, I know that's what he did a lot when he was here the first time. Is that what you see him doing from here on out?
Yeah, I think that's the role that he really fits for this club. And when they went out and got him, it's somebody that you know, and that helped a lot. But the productivity is the number one thing that they looked at. So having someone who's able to come in and do the things that he's done in San Francisco, do the things that he did in 2021, that's really what they needed. And so I feel like he is going to fit not only for this year, but beyond this year. And the other thing to Randy's point is that, you know, with Marcell Ozuna, it sounds like they're very, very comfortable when it comes to picking up that option and continuing to have him around and in the 2025 plan as well. It's just going to be interesting to see where all these at-bats come from, but exciting to see when you get Ronald Acuna Jr. back in this mix.
Hey, Grant, talk to me about this young kid, Schwelly, because, I mean, beginning when he first came up, you know, Rocky, just like most guys are when they're a young pitcher, but now has he figured it out? What have you seen from him and his progression so far this season?
Yeah, when I talked to Brian Snitker about this, and this has been about 3 or 4 weeks now, like what is he seeing that's kind of the separating factor for Spencer Schwellenbach? It has been mound presence. And the other thing that I've noticed is when he came up, there was a lot of talk about, you know, well, he's got two really good pitches, maybe a third that he can depend on. But all of a sudden, you watch what he's doing. He's using six different pitches, and he's using them like somewhere between 10 and 15%, maybe 20% of the time. So it's not like he's dependent on, I got to be a fastball slider guy with the occasional changeup. That might be Spencer Strider's profile, but it's not Spencer Schwellenbach's profile. And we saw a tick in velocity this past start that I think is very exciting, because if he's going to be touching 98, 96, and also using that off-speed stuff, this is a kid that he's confident. He's, you know, even though he is not a guy with a ton of innings and a ton of experience under his belt, he is somebody that I think they have confidence in because of the way he competes and the way he goes about everything. And that says a lot about a 24-year-old kid that came in with 65 innings under his belt this year.
Let's pretend all the bad stuff that's going to happen this year has already happened, because a lot of bad stuff's happened, right? Acuna and Strider and a lot. There's been a lot of just various unexpected, unfortunate things that have happened to this team. Maybe a lot of the bad stuff has already taken place. Best case scenario, like make the case for this team, this group that they have, and guys getting healthy, coming back, going on a run.
Yeah, and I asked Alex Anthopoulos about this yesterday. I said, you know, you get a Jorge Soler, you've got plans to get Michael Harris back in there, Ozzy Albies a little bit after that. You know, how much of the calculus of what you were out there trying to acquire had to do with knowing that you've got guys in-house that can perform better than they have? And he said, look, I mean, it's not about we're sitting here projecting and or expecting them to do what they've done, you know, last year, to somehow in 2 months put up the numbers that they did in an entire season last year. But yeah, we've got belief in our guys, and we believe what we've added and the capabilities of getting some injured players back is going to factor for us pretty well. If they get this offense going, I still think this pitching staff has enough, more than just warm bodies at the end of the rotation, and enough quantity and quality in the bullpen to do the things that any club in October is capable of doing. You've just got to get in. You've just got to give yourself that chance. And I feel like the Braves have put themselves in position, as Alex said, to be where they are right now, to do some buying, and they still believe that they can accomplish some things in October. You just have to get there because, as I've said many times, who in the world walked into spring training last year and said, can't wait for the Rangers and Diamondbacks to meet in the World Series?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's very true. And, I mean, the Braves the last 2 years have been one of the best teams win-loss record-wise in the regular season and been out in the first round. So you never know. Grant, thank you. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, G-Mac.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Grant McCauley there at 92.9 The Game. Atlanta Braves insider, host of From the Diamond. Obviously, he'll have a ton to talk about this weekend with what the Braves have done this week. And, like, that's what it is. Like, obviously, the, you know, kind of the chest-out confidence that was there on opening day.
It's not there.
It hasn't been there throughout the whole year.
Think about it.
But, like, you never know.
You always keep your chest out, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You might have to take some short breath with your chest out. But keep your chest out, man.
Yeah. Yeah, put it out there.
Breathe like that. Chest out there. Yeah, but keep your chest out, man.
Hold it in.
Yeah, man. Remember when Eddie Murphy told him on Harlem Nights? Take short breaths.
Little sips. Little sips of air. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.